Welcome everyone to today's podcast episode. You're listening to the Home Design Podcast. My name is Adam Case, your host, and we aim to educate, inspire, and connect South Florida with the industry authorities within their trade. Today, we're going to be discussing everything vintage home design and how to find the perfect vintage elements for your home, all with Nicole Soucy of Regency Revival. How's it going?
Going very well. Thank you for having me, Adam. I'm so excited.
Absolutely. This is exciting because it is, it's something that's been around forever and it's a growing trend. And it's not just with the older market. This is like millennials, younger people, people of all ages really appreciate vintage.
Yes. And thankfully that's good for me, right?
Exactly. Right. Without a doubt.
What's nice about vintage, what I love about vintage is it's making quality affordable. It's sustainable lifestyle. It's recycling with a purpose.
Absolutely.
And it's also, you know, it's bringing items into your home that have a history. They've already survived the test of time. So you're getting craftsmanship, you're getting good manufacturing, good quality, for a fraction of the price.
Without a doubt. And you've been doing this for a while and you have a long appreciation of vintage. But before we really dive into that, I want to know, who is Nicole Soucy?
Oh gosh.
That could be the toughest question of the day.
This podcast isn't long enough for that. Nicole Soucy, I'm a Miami native. I was born and raised in the North Miami area. I went to private prep school my whole life. So you get that in my personality. But being raised in Miami, there's that juxtaposition, right?
Absolutely.
And so met my husband. I was really young. We got married really young. We bought a house and remodeled a house. I was 23 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Very young. So the house was 900 square feet. We doubled it, gutted it, did everything at 23 years old, right?
That's amazing. Good time to learn.
And I learned a lot,
right?
Over the course of time.
Exactly.
I made a lot of mistakes doing so.
Right.
So after renovating the house and doing the construction, when we moved in, I mean, we were quite literally the definition of house poor, right?
Right.
Like, I'll never forget, our kitchen wasn't installed yet, and we had two Home Depot paint buckets and a brass circular end table, and that was like our dining table, right? Because there was no furniture. So I always grew up, my grandparents had antiques from their great-grandparents, things that had been brought over from Germany, and so I was always surrounded by antiques and the feeling of things have a life before you and things are older, right? So I love vintage fashion. I love Nicole Soucy. Nicole Soucy loves to be different and one of a kind.
Absolutely.
Nicole Soucy loves to wear things and have things that nobody else has. They're one of a kind and you can't walk into Neiman Marcus and buy it.
Right, exactly. And the thing is with vintage, like, it's not just, you know, buy a piece and, you know, I mean, which you can and people do it. And it's a great way to really differentiate your home, but it's a lifestyle.
It is a lifestyle and it's a personality thing too.
Right.
Right. So a lot of people that follow me, they get the personality. But then when I talk to people that don't understand vintage, I try and say to them, you know, it's a lifestyle, it's a personality. So if you dress colorful, you wear textures and pattern and color and you do nail art and do fun things with your hair, that's your personality. So if I walk into your house and it's 50 shades of gray and beige, it's like there's a disconnect. You think, whoa, wait, what? That's like not you.
Right.
And your house is a reflection of your personality.
It's like something you think, assume of an individual. And then you walk in your house like, wait a second, this is not what I thought.
Right. And so then you realize when you walk in the house and see that, you think, oh, you're not that interesting.
Right.
Right. If you know, like you can put an outfit together, but you can't put.
Right.
So it's a personality of presenting yourself colorfully. You live colorfully and your house really is a reflection of you and who you are.
Absolutely. And to that point, I did a podcast a little while back with Tanya Nyack of HETV, and a point that she made when it comes to design, one of the first things she does is she wants to see your closet, because you can see a lot about who an individual is when you see their closet.
Right.
So to your point, obviously, you know, a home is your space. It tells a story. You get to tell it the way that you want to tell it. And, you know, that's introducing different elements, whether that's super modern or, you know, vintage or traditional, transitional, whatever that might look like. But this is your space and nobody's necessarily there to tell you how to do it.
Right. And I think what's also cool about that is your house speaks to who you are without you saying a word.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, you can walk into someone's house and go, wow, they're so much more interesting than I thought they were.
Like, exactly.
Look at this art, look at the books, look at wow.
Yeah.
Or you can walk out thinking, wow, that's not what I thought it would be.
Yeah. So actually, for everybody listening, walk into your house as an outsider and see how interesting you seem. And if that's the person that you want to really identify with.
Right. Or like when you...
Because if Nicole comes to your house, she is judging you. No.
I am judging. Yeah. I'm very judging. But it's, you know, also like it's something to where you start paying attention when you walk into someone else's house.
Right.
When you leave, think, wow, what did I think about the house? And what does that say about them?
Absolutely.
And then once you have that thought process in your mind, you kind of start integrating that into your house.
Right. No, without a doubt. And, you know, so getting into vintage, you know, if you were to answer, obviously, this is a passion of yours that turned business, and that's usually the best way to go into a business. But why vintage decorating?
Oh, vintage decorating. Because I think it's fun. And again, it's one of a kind.
Right.
You're getting quality pieces in your house that look inherited.
Right.
They look like you got it from, even if you did not inherit them.
Right.
You could have picked them up at the corner garage sale. But they look like they've been in your family for 100 years.
Right.
It has history. It has personality. It tells a story. And also, you have that story to tell about the piece.
Right.
You know, so it's conversational pieces, too, in your house. So I really love, I think of it as like rescuing pieces.
Right.
Right. People throw them out on the street. Like, my favorite piece of furniture in my house is a credenza that I picked up off the side of the road. It's neoclassical gorgeousness. I mean, it's solid walnut, gold gilded, beautiful. But wow. It was on the road for trash.
Yeah.
And I picked it up and I used it as the baby changing station for my son. And now it's his dresser. But it's one of those pieces that if like the house burned down, that's
what you're saying.
That's what I'm taking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's, and anybody that comes to my house, oh my God, I love that piece of furniture.
Yeah.
And then I have that whole story to share, right? So it's sustainable. Millennials are really into sustainability.
Right.
So it's like saving the planet one vintage piece of furniture at a time. And it's unique. Not everybody has it.
You know,
you're not going to walk in and say, oh my God, I love that lamp. You got it at West Elm. I saw it on sale last
week. Right, exactly.
You know, it's something where you walk in and you go, oh my God, I've never seen anything like that.
And to your point, a lot of people, when you walk into their home, it looks like somebody's showroom. You know, because a lot of times they'll go shopping and they're buying everything. Like, oh, I like the, and that's what's great about, like, you know, furniture stores. They do a great job of creating vignettes and, you know, takes the thought out of the entire process for, you know, most people. So,
and the personality.
Exactly. 100%. So do you want to look like a showroom or do you want it to look like your own home? Because there's a lot of beautiful furniture and, like, you know, everybody listening, they might not be all in on all vintage, but, you know, there are elements to be able to introduce to your home. And, you know, personally speaking, you know, I grew up in a home where, you know, our dining table was from my dad's home. You know, the table was over 60 years old, that we had these gates that he had in his home that was actually from a Spanish castle hundreds of years ago. And, you know, these are things that have been like just
passed.
It carried on through our family. Also, you know, with, you know, when I first started dating my wife, she, you know, and it's not even something that she wanted, but we moved into a new home. She needed an area to do her makeup. I found this beautiful acrylic vanity that was absolutely stunning. It had its imperfections, but that was the, you know,
character
to it. And we still have it today. And it's actually, you know, a little desk area, vanity area in my daughter's bedroom. And, you know, I mean, and even this brass table that you walked in, it's actually from my grandfather's house that, you know, when he passed away, like, it was something that I wanted to take and I have it here in my office. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into it and it tells a story and it means something to individuals. But talking about sustainability in particular, because this is something that, you know, we talk about on all levels. Doesn't matter if we're speaking about solar panels or vintage furniture, reducing your carbon footprint. You know, what can you say to that specifically? Because that's something that really speaks to, especially, you know, generations like millennials and people like that.
I want to circle back to the carbon footprint because I want to pick up on something that you said about being all in with vintage.
Right.
And sometimes people are not all in with vintage. And sometimes you can't be,
right?
Sometimes you're like, I need something now. I don't have the time to wait to find the perfect piece. So what's really awesome about vintage is mixing old with new.
Right.
Your whole house doesn't have to be antique. Your whole house doesn't have to be from Target. You know, it's about finding those pieces that you love. And if the house is burning down, you want to save it.
Right.
And then you have, you know, a Target console next to it, a West Elm vase on top of it, whatever it may be. So it's like I try and tell people, don't have the mindset of like everything has to be sourced
right.
from being vintage. You can mix high with the low. You can have a gorgeous antique credenza and then make your vignette with Target and Home Goods pieces.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all about the mix. So I wanted to stress that because I think people, my generation, millennials, we get so in the all or nothing.
Right, exactly.
And I want it to look like a showroom all the way.
Right.
Or I'm not doing it. You know, so it's a high and low thing. So circling back to the carbon footprint. If you go to Target, West Elm, Pottery Barn, I mean, Home Goods, I know people love Home Goods.
Right.
It's low quality. It's not good construction.
And it's what we call fast furniture.
Yeah, it's just like fast fashion.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Regency Revival sells fashion, vintage fashion, all of that too. So it's fast fashion, it's fast furniture. It's things that are not going to last.
There's nothing wrong with it, but
you can buy it if you need it.
Exactly.
Right? Knowing that in the end, you're going to buy it again and again and
right,
again.
Exactly.
So a lot of times it's more expensive to buy out of necessity. I need it now versus like, do I really need it now? Let me wait and find a better piece.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so it's not going to last and it doesn't stand the test of time and you're not connected to it.
Right.
You know, I think there is something to be said for when you see a piece and you love it and you know, like, I love it. And when you love it, you're going to take it with you no matter where you go.
Right.
You're going to pull it out of your grandfather's house. You're going to pass it down to your kids. Your kids want it. It comes with that nostalgia. It comes with, you know, that warm, cozy feeling of home. I mean, in 50 years, are our kids going to say, oh my God, I have this IKEA bookshelf for my mother.
Exactly.
Like, I can't. It's just not. It's. I don't know how much vintage is going to be around.
No, not you. No, you won't.
No, yeah. I mean, but you think of like everybody's buying the right. fast furniture now.
Right.
So in 50 years, what's going to be left for vintage?
Right.
It's not going to last. There's going to be such a deficit in that market.
And that's a great point because I have this conversation a lot with just businesses in general because there's a market for everybody. But, you know, they're like, you know, a luxury furniture store. They need to start thinking of themselves as a different type of brand versus somebody that like their clientele only being that person that's coming in and buying everything for their home.
Right.
But the way that businesses thrive and survive is when you have the person that might not be able to afford to furnish the whole home, just like somebody that might, you know, not be able to buy an entire collection from Louis Vuitton or Hermes or any of these brands. But they can get that one signature piece, whether it's those shoes or that purse or whatever it might be. Anybody, there is something in any store for everybody because, you know, that's something that people can take pride in this one feature piece within their home, whether it's an accent chair or a table or whatever that might be. So just the outlook, not only from individuals, but brands to go beyond your comfort zone, walk into these different stores, you know, whether it's vintage, whether it's new, but look for quality because quality lasts. And to your point, I wanted to reference, there's a lot of new communities out there. And when people move into a new community, especially they're like, oh, I want all new stuff, new furniture, new this, new that. And then you get on the Facebook group for the community and a year and a half later, everyone's giving away all their stuff because like when you move into a house or you remodel a house, live in it a little. Understand the flow, what you want it to look like, because I guarantee when you first move into a home, what you thought would be perfect, it is so far from what really makes sense.
And also to speak to that, it's buying pieces, like you said, there's something in every store. There's
right.
a good piece of anything in any store that you walk into. And it's being smart, making
right.
a smart purchase. Like you said, if you go into, you know, you go into Louis Vuitton. Yes, you could buy the pair of Chanel, rather. You can buy
right.
the basic black ballerinas. They're going to last you a lifetime.
Right.
Right. But if you never wear ballerinas,
yeah,
that's not really a good purchase for you.
Exactly.
Right? Like some women would argue that's the quintessential piece, will last a lifetime.
Right.
But if that's not your lifestyle, that's essentially useless to you. And
right.
that is
absolutely.
A waste of money. So you want to get something that speaks to you and your personality. So again, no matter where you are, you can find that investment piece of furniture
right.
that is going to go with you. So even when you move into a new community and you say, I want everything new, but
right.
there's that dresser that is coming with me.
Yeah.
And even if I have to paint it, like another great thing to point out with vintage is You can paint it. You can sand it down. You can add a marble top and turn it into a bathroom vanity. There's so many ways that you can repurpose these things and move them through your homes as you move through your life. Like Absolutely. You said, you had a vanity for your wife and now your daughter's using it.
Yeah.
So when you have pieces you love, you find a way to use them.
Absolutely. And to your point, your favorite piece. I mean, and it's a great way, a great introductory is like, so when you have your especially your first child, because, you know, everything is like, oh, this, I'm going to create the best room ever. Then once you get to two and three and whatever, it's
You're throwing it all out.
Right. It changes. But getting that piece where it can be a changing table, like that credenza, and then that piece will continue to evolve within the room. And it really is something special. And, you know, to this carbon footprint, we're taking things out of the landfill. We're using them in different ways. But, you know, to your business and what you do, do you find yourself restoring product much now? Like, as far as like, you know, what is Regency Revival?
Regency Revival specializes in everything vintage home decor.
Okay.
So we do accessories, vintage art, vintage tapestry, linens, furniture, everything in your house. Regency Revival sources it, sells it, curates it, and is available for purchase, and we ship nationwide.
Okay.
And fashion, accessories, hats, purses, everything like that too. Restoring, absolutely. I mean, there's furniture where if it's a, you know, a walnut dining room table.
Right.
And it's the walnuts rubbed off, it, you know, the brass feet are terribly patinaed to where, you know, you can't even recognize it as it being brass. I will polish it. I, you know, if it is something now, I used to do this a lot more so when I was smaller. As I'm right. getting bigger, those projects become less and less. But
right.
I would sand it down, refinish it, stain it, paint it, and then you customize it.
Right.
I'm not doing that anymore. But there are so many local businesses in South Florida. Palm Beach has incredible businesses that specialize in doing that. And people think, you know, this is, people think, oh, that's going to cost so much money.
Right.
I can't afford, like millennials in particular, I can't afford that. That's right. going to cost so much more money. But really, when you add it up, it's not as much as buying it new, or it's just a little bit more, and
right.
you're getting so much more. So again, if you see a dresser at a thrift store for $25,
yeah.
it is worth it to pay someone $500 to sand it down and paint it.
Absolutely.
Because now you have a beautiful, one-of-a-kind, solid wood, dovetailed drawers construction for $525. I don't know if you've looked on Target lately. You can't buy a dresser on Target for that.
No, that's a great point. Because, and that's the thing, because the way that the construction was done years ago is very different from today. You can't even compare it. And the quality of wood.
There's just something special about opening a really old dresser. The weight of the drawers, the way it slides.
Right.
You know, I always say when people are out shopping for furniture, what do you look for? That's one of those things. Open the drawer. If it gives you that feeling of, ooh, that's
right.
good. That's
exactly.
a good piece of furniture. Turn around, look at the back of it. Is it stapled MDF or is it solid wood screwed in?
Right.
You know, these are simple things that you can do to see this is a quality piece of furniture, or this is something that, you know, came from Home Goods 10 years ago.
And that's a good point, because even, you know, it's sad to say, I've walked into luxury stores and I've even seen the stapled MDF, I call it cardboard.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's hard to swallow. Like seeing more and more furniture, you're not just buying a brand, because, you know, in there's a lot of great brands out there, but typically when something costs more, you know, you're buying the marketing campaign that comes with that brand, and not in all cases, but if you look at the most luxurious brands, they don't really spend a lot on advertising. They're putting it all into the product and what that label really carries.
And the really luxurious brands, most people don't even know what they are.
Right.
Because it's one of those things where, like you said, they're not advertising it.
Right.
It's where either you know, or you know someone who knows, you have a designer that knows and takes you directly to the great route.
Right.
You know, that's, I'm not an interior designer. That's not my forte. But I will say people who do come to me for that, Nicole, can you help me interior design? And I always say, my job is sourcing everything
right.
for the designers. I always do recommend consulting with a designer. I think, again, that's another thing that millennials don't do.
Right.
I think, I can do it. I'm just, you know, I'm going to Pinterest and, you know, have a board on Instagram. Right. And then you end up buying the things two and three times.
Exactly. And to that point, I honestly feel that the interior design industry does a poor job of educating why a designer is so important. And this is something that I try to, you know, bring knowledge to as far as why designers really are needed and finding the right designer for you, because it does avoid a lot of issues.
Mistakes.
Yeah.
And errors. You know, there are certain things. Again, we did my house when I was 23. And now at 34, I walk around looking like stupid. Right. Oh my God, like, why didn't anyone tell me that? You know, just silly things of like the exterior lighting next to the front door, right?
Right.
No, because here in South Florida, there's mosquitoes, there's bugs. They go to the light. So the moment you open your front door, it's filled with bugs.
They're all there.
They should be further apart. And that's something a designer would have told you.
Yeah.
Front and center. But I had, you know, at 23, you know it all. And so, you know, we made that mistake kind of thing. But designers don't do a good job at communicating why they're needed.
Right.
And also making it more relatable, not so scary. I think a lot of people think, oh, designer, that's so expensive. But there are designers, and ask, like, if you're in the market to redo your house and you're interested in a designer, find one that aligns with your aesthetic.
Right.
Right. Because there's a lot of times where people say, I want a designer. And they find someone that's ultra modern, but their design is boho 70s disco.
Right.
So that designer's not for you. But also to ask consulting, you know, like, can I consult with you on a room here and there? You know, you don't have to make a commitment to a full house project with a designer. And I think if designers made that more knowledgeable, like, you know, we'll touch base. I'm here if you need me. If you need a dresser, I'll source it for you. There's consulting. A lot of designers offer consulting,
right?
And that's a great, more affordable way to go for people who are scared to pull the trigger on a big commitment.
Absolutely. And to what you were saying about your experience on your remodel, you know, there is something to be said about sweat equity and learning from those mistakes, because that's really the only way that an individual can truly grow. But, you know, what I love about vintage furniture and what we've touched on is that it truly tells a story. You're taking essentially a piece of history, and it's the history of the manufacturing process. A lot of times, you know, you open up that drawer, you see that label of a company that was around for hundreds of years, and it, you know, it truly tests time. But when you're going into a project, say if you're hired by an individual to help source products, to help, you know, bring their, you know, reduce the modern aspect of their home, adding layers, adding textures, adding different elements, like, what is your approach?
My approach is always speaking to the customer, getting a feel for the customer, and letting them know this is not an overnight thing.
Right.
You know, you're not going to have a full room in 20 days if I'm working with you. That's not how it works.
Right.
And really getting them to open up and show you pictures of what they like, because so many times people come in and they say, I want modern.
Right.
The modern is the thing now, right? Everybody wants modern. I want modern. And then they start showing me pictures of things, and I have to point out to them, okay, but nothing you've shown me is modern.
Right.
So I don't know that you really want modern. Like, are you associating modern with clean?
Right.
You know? Like, right. Visual clarity. So it's always getting an idea of what they really want. And then we start sourcing. Yeah. What's your lifestyle? Do you have dogs? Do you have kids? Okay. We need to look for pieces that have heavy linens, heavy fabrics. You know, yes, you can go get a settee at Home Goods with a linen fabric. When your dog jumps on it, it rips.
Right.
When the kid is bouncing off of it and spills the lollipop, it's stained and you can't clean it because it's so thin. It's not durable. So it's getting a need of their lifestyle and what they actually need.
Right.
And then elevating it to look as fabulous as they want it to look and still be durable. Because there's nothing worse than buying a fabulous piece of furniture with fabric and then the dog sits on it and leaks and then you're just heartbroken, right?
Right.
But when you invest in quality fabrics, you can clean that. Or if you do something with fabulous patterns, that's another thing. Like, for people who have dogs and children, I always suggest, let's do patterns. Let's do color. It hides everything.
You know, like, absolutely.
I have a senior dog, so you can only imagine the accidents that happen. So you want pattern, you want thick quality. So we go about it like that.
You know,
are we doing a room? Are we phasing pieces, a corner? And then you're able to get their personality. And again, if you do, you know, they want a brass bar cart and you think, okay, But, and it's also expanding their mindset and being open-minded.
Right.
Because they'll come and say, I need a bar cart. And then I'll say, well, where's it going? You know, oh, okay, it's going in this corner. Well, then you need art or you need a mirror. And we want to flank that mirror with sconces because you don't just want a mirror up there. And what's going on the bar cart? You need vintage glassware. You need vintage decanters. We need swizzle sticks. We need all of that. So, you know, you don't just need a bar cart, babe. We need a lot more.
Yeah,
so.
Because you're creating, you know, that vignette and, and that touch as far as that, that also makes sense and flows in the rest of the space. And to your point, when you're talking all these, you know, patterns and fabrics and things like that, you know, if you're working with somebody that isn't, you know, they're kind of touching the outskirts of going vintage, like those are great ways to introduce it. You know,
And it's something where, you know, I do live sales. So when I sell my stuff, I do it in a live sale. So it's almost like a QVC platform, right? We can talk.
It's like an auctioneer. It's like,
except they're set prices.
Right.
You know, it's not so much bloodshed, but, and then there's a Q&A time.
Right.
And a girl just asked me on Wednesday, is it better to buy new fabrics or vintage fabrics? And I say, you know, it just depends.
Right.
You know, you can go into a fabric store and get fabulous, great quality fabrics that are new. But again, if you're at an estate sale and you see vintage pillows that are, you know, have tassels and lace and double piping and you love it, then get it.
Right.
You know, there are certain things that it doesn't matter if you buy it new and it doesn't matter if you buy it vintage. You just need to do it well.
Right.
You know, whether it's new or old, you need to get into your mind of buying good quality pieces so that you're not constantly buying them again. Because it's also a heartache.
Right.
You know, when your dog anal leakages on your pillow, I don't know if you have dogs,
right,
if you've had that heart, it's the most disgusting, horrific, heartbreaking, infuriating thing, okay?
Right.
It's awful. So, you know, if it's a good quality piece of fabric, you can have it cleaned.
Right, absolutely.
You know, you're not crying yourself to sleep for a week.
Without a doubt. And you've been doing this for a while now. You know, what do you look for? You know, because I'm sure you bought wrong as well. Like, you know, I'm sure you've had the experiences of like, oh, you know, now I know what to look for in this element or whatever it might be.
The anal leakage dog story.
Yeah, right.
From
personal.
Yeah. Personal to me. So when I was 23, 24, 25, you know, being house poor.
Right.
And being on a strict budget and needing things.
Right.
Like we had nothing.
Right.
Two Home Depot buckets, really. You know, I did a lot at Home Goods and I learned that lesson really hard. You know, I think I bought 3 dining room tables. I bought 4 sofas in 7 years.
Right.
And my husband would say, how many sofas are you going to buy? And I'd say, well, but they keep getting ruined after a year and a half. They look like crap.
Right.
And so I look for, when we're talking about furniture, you look for the filling, you look for what's it made of? What are the fabrics? What's it stuffed with? You know, is it artificial, just so much fluff? Like, people love restoration hardware.
Yeah.
Restoration hardware has fabulous things, but restoration hardware is also, it's not filled with the best materials. It's not the best quality fabrics. And that's why everything has to be, you know, a 45 inch deep sofa. It has to be huge so that it's comfy.
Right.
Right. So it's one of those things where, yes, you can spend $12,000 on a restoration hardware sofa.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's going to last you forever. But when you're looking at a vintage sofa, you want to look at the filling, sit down on it. Does it collapse? Lift up the cushions. What's the underneath construction look like? Is it springs? Is it the lattice? You know, look at the construction, feel the pillows, open it up. What's it stuffed with? You know, if you find something that's stuffed with really good feathers, horsehair makes it really old and really comfortable.
Okay.
Look at the materials. You know, what is this? And then pull out your Googler. And see, you know, what is it? Where did it? What's the time era? Things like that. So yes, I made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, I said, I've been through several sofas.
Right.
So you want to get, you know, now I have a goose down sofa that the whole thing is zippered. You can take the whole thing off and wash it because I have kids and dogs, and it's a really thick material too. So you want to find things that work for your life and don't tell yourself sweet little lies.
Right.
Because I did that, you know, oh, I won't let my dog on there. I won't let my kid on there. It's BS and you know it.
Right.
Do what's for your lifestyle. Be honest with yourself.
Right. And going into lifestyle, like obviously you have your lifestyle. You have like what speaks to you from product to fashion to everything. You know, there's a word that I see here and there, you know, and I might butcher it, but chinoiserie.
Yes.
Did I say
done
it right?
Well, yeah, chinoiserie.
Okay, perfect. Define that. And also I want to go into like Palm Beach design? Because a lot of times, like, there's a, like, vintage, I think of like Palm Beach and Nantucket.
Right.
You know,
like, yeah, so that's a coastal.
Coastal. But let's talk about, first of all, chinoiserie and what that is, because there's an Asian connotation and everything, as far as it's not just American accents and things like that that are vintage. You know, you can get things from all over the world where it's, you know, vintage means something different to everybody.
Yeah. So chinoiserie is applies to furniture, accessories, pottery, and it's pieces with an Asian taste. You know, they're from China, Japan. They're things with a very Chinese taste to it. So, like you said, things being very American. To me, I think I want everything in my home that, whether I traveled to Asia or not,
right,
you don't know that when you walked in my right. house, right? You don't know, like, oh my God, she had this piece of art shipped over from India on her trip there, you know?
Yeah.
It's about having your whole house look well-traveled, well-styled, lived in, comfortable. Right. So the chinoiserie, I always say I do Palm Beach chic and tropically traditional. So I always look for, I want the house to feel beautifully elegant, but also comfortable.
Right.
I want the room to look like, wow, what a beautiful room, but I want to sit on the sofa and talk, you know, have a coffee and talk crap with each other.
Right.
You know, you want it to be comfortable. You want it to be lived in. So the chinoiserie, I feature that everywhere with home decor, really. Right. You know, sometimes you can find fabulous patterns and linens and pillows that have that effect to it, but it really comes through in home decor accents, you know, your china, your dishes, your plates, vases. And they're usually very colorful,
right,
which again lends to that Palm Beach chic. So they add a splash of color, they add texture, they add pattern, because they're always gorgeous patterns on them. And they're special pieces. You know, it's something that they stand out, they complement your decor, but they don't take away from it.
Right. Absolutely. And going back to one of the points that you made in the sense of, you know, livable, you know, approachable, things like that. You know, when you think of, there's luxury items out there where it's like you like feel bad for sitting on a sofa or things like that, where that's not what people want anymore. It doesn't matter what room you're talking about. Those living rooms that people don't go in anymore, like that is gone, I feel like.
Right. That's not our life anymore.
Right.
I think that, you know, before you had your formal sitting room.
Right. Exactly.
My mother-in-law still has one, which is right. funny. You know, don't sit on that sofa. Don't bounce on that. You know, but our generation, I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like our generation, we're not having massive houses anymore.
Right.
You know, like, we're realizing we don't need 8,000 square feet for three people.
Right.
We don't want to pay to maintain that kind of thing. Right. So we want every space in our house to be usable, livable, comfortable. And I think the pandemic really did that too, right?
Yeah.
Where you were stuck in your house and you were like, oh, you know, that home office that I never use because I'm more comfortable working on the sofa or in the kitchen.
Right.
Let me make that into a small gym because
yeah.
I'm actually going to do that. So it goes back to your lifestyle. How are you using those rooms? What are you actually using your house for? And everything, like you said, being comfortable.
Right.
You know, we don't have formal dining rooms and formal living rooms anymore. You have the living room, and if you have kids, they're jumping on the sofa and they have their popsicle and their friends and the popcorn and the TV. You know, you need to have spaces that are comfortable. And again, not, you know, I think people think vintage and antiques and they think your grandmother's house, it's stuffy, right, or it's so expensive and you don't want to sit on it. And there's a happy medium to that.
Right.
You know, you want things to look great, but to be comfortable and livable.
Right. And you mentioned like your grandmother's living room or, you know, their furniture. But, you know, I feel like I'm seeing more of like your grandmother's wallpaper and your grandmother's like fabrics and things like that, that are now like, that is what's in. Like, people want like your grandmother's walls.
I just went to I saw on Zillow Gone Wild. Okay. This late 1970s house,
right,
condo at the Cricket Club. Now the Cricket Club is 5 minutes from my house. So I said to my husband, make an appointment with that realtor. I have to see it,
right,
because it was a time capsule, totally untouched, pink rotunda. I mean, I said, I have to go see this. So I did a story on my page. You can look at it. It is what I call cocaine chic. It is late 70s, early 80s, that time era.
Okay.
Everything is lucite, acrylic,
yeah,
the mid-century tufted sofa, the chrome legs, the wallpaper was incredible, pink rugs throughout, but it was done with a designer in the late 70s.
Right.
It was done so well to where I said, if I was a single woman who didn't have a husband and kids, I really wouldn't change a thing.
Right.
It was done so well. Right. And there was so, I mean, that reel got such engagement and feedback, and everybody said the same thing.
Right.
They're like, the only thing I would change is the green shag rug.
right.
But otherwise there's nothing I would change.
Right.
So wallpaper, I think, is now, you know, we went through a time where it wasn't, you weren't seeing it. It wasn't commercial. Your old money,
right,
fabulous high-end luxury houses still had it, but your everyday stores that we see on TV and we see in the catalogs, we're not showing it.
Right.
Right. So for people who are not in that market, it's not something that's on their mind, and they think wallpaper, grandma.
Yeah.
I mean, I still get that all the time.
Right.
I think like, okay, but if every room in your house has white walls, like, oh my, how boring.
Right. No, right? Absolutely. And to your point, like, you know, the word trends, it's a marketing word. The whole point of it is so that way purposely things come and go. That way there's always something to buy.
There's always something to keep buying and spending your money on.
Right. And a well-designed home never goes out of style, essentially.
That is very correct. And also, if you love something, if you only buy things that you love, it never goes out of style for you either, because you love it.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's what I try and tell people too, when you're out shopping for vintage, and there's so many different, you know, estate sales, garage sales, thrift stores, and there's so many small businesses on Instagram that sell vintage like I do as well. And everybody has a different taste. But when you go to these stores, you know in your heart when you see that piece and you're like, oh, I love it. Buy it.
Right.
You will always find a place for it, and you will always keep it, and you'll always use it. You know, so it's not trendy.
Yeah.
And like, people will say, oh, you know, like, I have neighbors that they just bought the house and they're redoing everything. And, you know, they'll tell me, oh, well, I got to get from West Elm. I love the West Elm look. And
right.
I'm like, okay, well, you know, we can find you that look that's like actually from the 50s and actually is good quality kind of stuff.
Right, so exactly.
Have an open mind. You know, like you said, with people are coming around to that now. I think it's having an open mind, going into things, going into your grandma's house. Cause I have friends too. Oh my God, my mother has all my grandma's stuff. It's awful. And then I walk in and I say, oh my God,
it's a gold mine.
It's a gold mine. You think, okay, all of these pieces together, it's outdated.
Right.
Right. But the pieces themselves are incredible. You know, so we space them out. We bring in some different things, because then people also do, let's say for example, French Provincial.
Right.
Right. That was a huge trend back in the 60s.
Right.
And people had the French Provincial bed and the nightstands and the dresser and every piece. So when you walk into a room and every piece is French Provincial,
it's a lot.
It's a lot. And it's not visually appealing and it's dated. But when you take the dresser and you say, okay, we're taking the French dresser and we're putting it with a modern cane bed, all of a sudden it's updated and it's fresh. And you think, wow. And a lot of times that takes someone like me or an interior designer to say that.
Yeah. You're
like, okay, let's take that piece, put it in a different setting or paint it. You give it a new life. It freshens things up. So to go into things with an open mind, you know, don't look at the room as a whole. Because a lot of times when you go into an estate sale, right, you go in and you're like, oh my God, this is who lived here.
Right.
But when you look at the pieces themselves and you think, okay, where can I use that in my house? And again, going back to having an open mind, because there's sometimes where you find a piece where you think that's not what I needed or what I had in my mind for that space. But this piece could be fantastic.
Right. It
maybe is more functional, maybe is better to scale. You know, that's another thing that designers are great for is scale.
Right.
You know, I think most people have no concept of scale. And in vintage always did scale really well.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not in a humongous house.
Especially when you're talking credenzas and things like that. If you have this big wall or foyer or something like that, like, what is the size piece of furniture that should go here? Like, you know, there's a general rule of thumb, but there is no actual rule. And it, you know, sometimes it takes testing it and moving things around, but I hear designers say it all the time and people in general in the industry, before you go and just splurge and buy new furniture, move things around, because a bed on a different wall gives a room a different feel.
Yes. You can move furniture around and move them in different rooms.
Right.
And think of things differently too. Like, I always say I had a bar cart once.
Right.
And I thought, well, the kids started walking and crawling and I can't have the bar cart out because they're going to knock everything over. So I said, you know what? Let me see if that can work as an end table. So I put it next to a sofa and put a lamp on it and put books on it. And all of a sudden it worked as the end table where I needed it to work.
Right.
And it was fabulous. Everybody said, oh my God, I never would have thought to do that. That looks great. And yeah, okay, great. You know, and then the kid is no longer as rambunctious and you move it back right. to a bar cart, you know?
Exactly.
Move things in your home and make them work. And yes, definitely play dollhouse
right.
with your stuff before you start buying everything new.
Absolutely. Because, you know, I mean, what you do, you know, and also it's a fresh perspective. You know, you're seeing what they have and looking at it all new, because when somebody has this furniture and they're looking at it every single day and they're like, I'm just sick of that sofa, but it's really a beautiful sofa or a beautiful coffee table or whatever it might be. So, you know, talking about you and your business, like, first of all, who is your client? Like, who do you work with?
So I work with, I mean, my client base is huge, thankfully, but
right.
it's people, really women, primarily,
right.
that are in the age group of 30 to 65,
okay.
and they are scattered all throughout the United States. But it's women who want quality.
Right.
They want one of a kind. They don't want something that everybody else has. And they understand that, like, greatness is not done overnight.
Right.
You know, so my client is someone that comes to me, you know, they could see something on my page and say, I love it. I want it. And that's the main business part of it, is I post and I share items that are available for purchase right there. But the other back end of Regency Revival is my wish list, you know, where you'll say, Nicole, I need French Bergère chairs. I need two of them. And I need, you know, I need brass flamingo bookends. And I need, you know, if you ever see a beautiful Persian rug. And I have my wish list. So I go out constantly shopping with all of my customers in mind and looking for those things.
And not to cut you off, where do you go shopping?
I shop, like I said, estate sales, garage sales, warehouses, auctions, you know, and they auction off the whole house,
yep.
thrift shops, anywhere and everywhere. And I shop the whole Southeast Florida. So from Naples to North Palm Beach to Key West, I'm just Monday through Friday in my car, driving around like a crazy lady, picking up stuff.
Do you have like a box truck that follows you?
No, no. My husband used to have the pickup truck.
Right.
And he would kind of say, come pick it up. But no, I'll have them deliver it.
Yeah, very good.
I work with a delivery company that'll come do it. But
yeah
so that's my client base, is women that understand I need a pair of nightstands.
Right.
And I'm willing to wait 6 months for you to find the perfect pair.
Right.
Because I don't want to go and just get something cheap that's not exactly what I love.
Absolutely. And how do they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Regency_Revival. So a lot of my business is, it's strictly Instagram.
Right.
And a lot of it's word of mouth and people sharing it. And yeah, I mean, I think my business was built really organically on Instagram. And I think it really kind of exploded in COVID when everybody was home.
Right.
And everybody was living in their house and looking around at the 50 Shades of Grey and going, wait a minute, this is not, like, I'm not happy here. I don't want to be here.
Right.
You know, and then however they found me through the Explorer, through people sharing it, that's how it started. And I think when you look at my page, it's colorful, it's happy, it's all good vibes, and you think, God, I want that in my house.
Yeah.
Yes, I like that.
Absolutely, because, you know, at the end of the day, they're buying you. Like, they're buying, right. like, you know, your process, and you've been doing it, and the experience. Like, anyone can go and do it, you know, and learn it. You know, you might make mistakes, you might find those great pieces, but something that keeps coming back to me, like, so when you think about vintage, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be like an expensive piece, like, or a label or things like that. Like, let's define the word vintage a little bit better in the sense of, like, what does that mean? You know?
So vintage, if you like, you know, you do the Google definition,
right.
is anything that's 20 to 30 years old,
okay.
and older. Really? So, I mean, as you get old, that's really depressing to hear that, like, something from 1995 is now considered vintage and we were alive, right?
Right.
I mean, that's,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh my God, awful.
It's kind of scary when you think about it.
Yes. You know, you think, oh God, yeah. I found like a Titanic necklace. It was like the blue heart with rhinestones. And I thought, look at this beautiful vintage necklace. It's like the Titanic. And then a follower messaged me like, oh, so 1996 is vintage? Great. I was
right.
like, oh my God, unfortunately. Yeah. So vintage is anything, yeah, that is 20 to 30 years old or older.
Right.
So it's vintage fashion, it's vintage home decor, anything in that realm. And it doesn't, yes, people think vintage, they think antique, they think cherish, they think antique dealers, they think expensive.
Right.
And it does not have to be expensive. I mean, Regency Revival is making Regency vintage home decor and vintage fashion affordable
right.
and approachable. And able to obtain it, right? Like, you don't have to spend $10,000 on a bathroom vanity. You can find a dresser and have it made into a bathroom vanity for 80% less.
And it'll be special.
It'll be special. It'll be better. It'll last forever. And it'll be a piece where people walk in and go, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous. And you have the story. Oh my God. Yes. I found this at a thrift store. My plumber made a vessel sink on top of it. Blah, blah, blah. You know, you can customize it and it's unique. You know, it's not a contractor special, builder special house that everybody walks into.
Absolutely. And to that point, because we talk real estate all the time, you know, when it comes to remodeling. So
everything looks the same.
Yeah. And so we, as you know, we produce the Home Designer Remodeling Show. We have hundreds of vendors, thousands of products and services, and everybody's always thinking. But the one thing that everybody has been accustomed to think about in the process of remodeling is, how is this going to affect my value? Because at the end of the day, your home is a business, even though we have a personal connection. Briefly touch on what a vintage piece like that, like the vanity in particular, will do to a home value and separate it from other homes on the market as well.
Okay, so that's a really great point. Well, I'm very passionate about, so I might get some, you might.
That's okay, let's go.
I think because I love real estate, right. I love walking into houses. Anytime there's an open house, I have to go. And every time I walk in, it's a Mediterranean old Miami house and they've made it modern.
Right.
And it's like, it's not a modern house. Stop trying. It's like the Mean Girls. Stop trying to make fetch happen.
Right.
It's not a modern house. Stop trying to make it modern. Please, if you have a house that is an old Miami house, build on that.
Right.
Embrace that. Glorify what you bought. Stop trying to make it something it's not. Unless you're going to rip the whole thing apart and redo the entire facade of the house, just by adding a few wood pieces, wood beam elements and painting it gray, that does not make it modern.
Right.
And doing the padded concrete driveway, it doesn't make it modern. And when you go inside the house and it's the gray wood laminate floors and the all gray kitchen cabinets, and it's like, it's a blueprint now. And every house looks the same.
Right.
And so when I go into these open houses, I always say to my husband, like, oh, it's a $3 million house. And I gut the whole thing.
Right.
You know, yes, they re-just did it, but it's awful.
Right.
It is. It's a prison. It's prison gray, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're in, for me, I feel locked up.
Right.
Like, you know, like an Akon song. You were locked up. Please let me out. So I think that when you do special things like a vanity like that, that's a piece that someone walks into, someone who has taste, obviously, right, and style, walks into that and goes, wow, what a piece. I mean, really think about the houses that you walk into and you look at the moldings,
right,
and you look at like the finishes and you just go, wow, this is, you know, from a time long ago, like when they had carpenters.
Yeah.
Like carpenters, their whole job was putting in baseboards.
Right.
That was their whole career, was baseboards. Oh my gosh. Look at the quality in this. Look at the craftsmanship. Look at the personality.
Yeah.
You know, it's different. Your house is different. And I think that somehow there's a disconnect happening with what people really want is to, right, like human nature, right? Like you want to be, I have the best, I have the nicest. But then we're looking at houses that are all the same.
Right.
So there's a disconnect happening. So I think that when you have special pieces that you build into the house, like bathroom vanities, like built-in bars, things like that, that are special and unique, and you walk into and go, wow, I've never seen another house with this. And those are quite often the features that sell the house.
Absolutely.
Right.
Because it's memorable.
It's memorable. And the person says, I'm going to use that.
Right.
Like if it's a, you know, a bar, whatever, like for that condo that I went and saw with the rotunda, pink rotunda, the whole pink built-in sofa, pink rugs,
right,
pink mirrored, the whole
thing. Did it have the drop down floor too in the living area?
Yes.
You know,
no, I'm sorry, it was a step up.
Or a step up, yeah.
It was a step up. But it was a piece where I thought, you see yourself in that space immediately.
Right.
I said, I need a martini and like a fake cigarette
right
now. You exactly. know, like, oh my God. So that's how people, you get that sense where you see yourself in that house immediately.
Right.
You know, and that's what sells houses. Like, I'm gonna use this, or oh my God, I want to have this lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that's what sells houses. It's not the gray kitchen.
No, absolutely. And the thing is, it's like, you know, when you're talking, like I can resonate with all these different things because I grew up outside of Boston. You know, we had
where?
These.
Where?
In a town called Easton. South Shore.
My husband's mother's family is from Newton.
My whole family's from Newton.
Okay.
So both of my parents grew up, they're from Newton.
Oh, you have
I was born in Newton.
Okay. So yeah. You have to ask them if they remember Child World Toy Store.
Okay. I'll ask them. They're listening to this podcast. Oh, okay. I mean, I'll ask them about that. And to the point that I was making is, so we had these like, you know, actual wood floors that had like, the way that they installed it years ago is they had like the pegs. So, and then the first thing when they sold their house, the first thing they did, they ripped up all the floors. They took out all the built-in cabinetry and everything. I mean, and they just modernized it.
They stripped the house of its character.
Of its character. Exactly. Because, you know, they, one of my best friends who does landscape design in the neighborhood, he was like, he saw all the cabinetry outside and everything. And it was like this custom, you know, amazing cabinetry from when the house was built.
Right. Things that you don't mess with.
Exactly.
That's something where you walk in the house and you go, oh my God.
If you don't love it, paint it, sand it, whatever, like do, like
but change it. But that's one of those things where right. You think like, oh my God, this is how lucky are we
yeah.
that this was already done.
And you wouldn't get that quality even today.
No.
So a couple of questions. We've talked about a lot today, but I always like touching on like the most memorable projects. So a two-sided question. Is there like a product or a piece that is like your most memorable, doesn't have to be most expensive or anything, but like the piece that was like the everything.
Creme de la creme.
The creme de la creme, exactly.
And what I've sold on my page, I think, oh geez, let me think. For me, really, there's so many.
Right.
Like what I do for my customers, I think that's what really sets me apart from other sellers is A, you get my crazy personality.
Yeah.
But also I go into my shopping with my customers in mind. It's always, I'm shopping for them, for their needs, for their life.
Right.
So I find so many incredible pieces that oftentimes it's always, you know, I go back and forth with like wanting to get a warehouse,
right? Right.
Like a storage unit.
There a unit, a piece that you bought for somebody where you're like, oh, I really wish I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Every week.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things. Like I posted today a picture of me in a dress and I was like, I should have kept that dress.
Right.
P.S. If I sold it to you and you want to sell it back, let me know.
Right.
But I think it would have to be it was a circular dining table that we used as an entry table. So when you walk in the house, I mean, I saw that it had Chinese dolphins. It was three Chinese dolphins as the base. And then a beautiful glass beveled thick top. And it was, you know, like that gross bronzy kind of painted color.
Right.
And so I said, you know, let's paint that. We painted them dark navy, royal navy blue. And then I said, you know, it'll be in the entry of the house. You're going to fill it with books and then a huge centerpiece of orchids.
Right.
And a chinoiserie blue and white big bowl that we filled with orchids. And it was just stunning. And it was one of those pieces where I thought, I wish I had a house big enough to have this in my house
that, right.
Because, you know, it was 5 feet wide, you know, a walk-in
right.
center table round. That was a piece that I think about it fondly all the time.
Right.
And the paint job was spectacular. So
do you have a picture of that we can share?
I'll have to find it. Yeah.
We'd love to share that. Yeah. I mean, that'd be great. And
what was your second-sided question?
Just like the most memorable overall project, like a house that you went into and really curated the space.
For that, I'm going to have to say it would be my cabana.
Okay.
I'm going to do it as mine because with clients, a lot of times I don't do the entire space.
Right.
They're working with a designer. They're working, you know, with their girlfriends, whatever, and they're doing it.
Right.
And I come in and I come out kind of thing.
You save the day.
I save the day. Yeah. So it's not usually that I'm doing the ceiling to floor type of thing that a designer would be doing with
right.
you. But I will say it would be my pool cabana.
Okay.
We built a cabana. It was going to be my husband's garage, right? And then after a year, I realized this is just disgusting. It's a storage unit.
Right.
It's awful. So I'm commandeering this. And I partnered with a designer. She's a local designer, Deering Designs. I grew up with her. She's fantastic. Follow her. I'll send you her page. She's great too.
Absolutely.
But I paired up with her and I was just like, you know what? I need your help. I'm busy. Cause then you find that a lot with designers too.
Yeah.
That they'll design the whole house and you go to their house and they're like, I can't finish it. There's
right,
no
right.
time. So I said to her, like, I just need help. This is what I want. This is what I need you to find the painter. I need you to find this. I don't have the time for that.
Right.
And so we did that ceiling to floor together, her and I. And that was a space that was like filled with rats and snakes and roaches in Florida and has turned into this ultra Slim Aaron's like girl palace thing. So that was my personal experience. That was super fun. I love.
That's like your woman cave.
It is. Well, that's Regency Revival headquarters.
Okay, awesome. Yes, there you go.
It's turned into the headquarters of Regency Revival. So that, I mean, always with clients, I bebop in and I bebop out,
yeah.
You know, and then they'll share with me the finished product and that's super fun to see. But yeah, now you have me wanting to do somebody else's from ceiling to floor.
Yeah, because I mean, you really get to put your whole, the touch on everything. And so we did some stories earlier today and, you know, we had a bunch of questions, but one in particular that I wanted to ask, so this came from @ L. Brussel Sprout. And okay. She asked, what are some simple things to look for or stay away from when shopping vintage?
Okay. I think we covered that already.
But we already did.
I'm going to respond to that again. Things to look for. It depends on what you're shopping for. When we're shopping for vintage furniture, things to look for: thick fabrics, right? If you're looking for an upholstered piece, thick fabrics, look at the stitching, pull up the cushions, look underneath how it's constructed, open those cushions.
Right.
Bring a tape measure with you always so that you make sure, you know, I call it the Regency Revival Survival Kit.
Right.
That's when you go out shopping. You need a tape measure always to make sure it's A, going to fit in your space.
Right.
And then you need to hand sanitizer because you're going to get real dirty.
Right.
You need to lift up those sofas. You need to see the construction, open up the cushions, see what the filling is. If you can get on your hands and knees, you know, wear leggings or jeans so you're not flashing your good stuff. Lift up the box pleats, see underneath what's going on underneath there. Get in there and then always check under the cushions.
Right.
My girlfriend found a Cartier watch under a cushion. Well,
there you
once.
Go. Yeah.
So definitely dissect stuff. if you're looking at wood furniture, pull open the drawers. The drawers should feel good. The track should feel nice. Look for the construction on the drawers. They should be dovetailed. Make sure things are wood. They're not stapled. They're not MDF. It's one of those things that once you're in there looking, all of a sudden it becomes easily identifiable.
Right.
Where when you pull up in one drawer, you go, ooh, that's good. And then you pull up another and you're kind of like, this could have been from Babies R Us. And, you know, I don't know. So that's something to look for. When you're looking for pottery in China, anything that has like a gold gilded effect to it, that's incredible. I always try and stay away from rosy pattern stuff. You know, look at something and think, can I modernize this?
Right.
Can I make this fresh? Or is this really old lady?
Yeah.
You know, there's pieces where, and my inner, like I have the old lady in me, we call her Nancy. And you know, sometimes I say, Nancy, put it back.
Right.
You know, don't do it, Nancy. It's a little too old lady. so just use discernment with that.
That's awesome. So obviously thank you for answering that. And the thing is like, you know, vintage is meant to be fresh, exciting, and differentiate your home. But, you know, for everything that we discussed today, is there anything specific, anything else that you want to touch on before we go?
I just want to touch on reminding women, because women is a majority of my base and
right.
men, to present yourself the way you want to be received, right? Like if you're a fun, bubbly personality and you're awesome, wear color, wear pattern. And remember to translate your fabulous personality into your home. And remember to make an effort to surround yourself with beautiful things. Every aspect of your life should be beautiful.
Right.
It shouldn't just be your car. It shouldn't just be your handbag. You can make every facet of your life fabulous and beautiful, and it does not have to cost a fortune.
Absolutely. And I can say, thanks to COVID, people value their homes a whole lot more than they ever did before, where we are seeing people put more into their homes and valuing their spaces more.
Yeah, putting more money into the house and making the houses livable, right? Yeah. Like, you know, I have friends that they used to be members of the Soho,
The Beach Club.
Beach Club. Yeah. And then COVID happened and all of a sudden it was like, actually, you know, we're going to save the money to put a pool in our house.
Yeah, exactly. Create your own beach club.
Right, exactly. So yes, use your house, love your house, make it livable, and don't be afraid to change things and do sweat equity. Don't be afraid to paint that room.
Right.
And don't be afraid of color, you know? And
absolutely. You can always change color.
You can, and painting is so easy.
Right.
It really is. Like, do the Google painting for dummies.
Yeah.
You can do it yourself. Crank the music.
Or we do have a podcast from a painter a while back.
Well, I have to listen to that. Right. Yes, listen to the podcast. Yeah.
But I can't thank you enough. For anybody that would like to obviously get in touch with you, reach you, what's the best way?
Regency underscore revival on Instagram. I'm very present. I respond to all of my DMs. My email is listed there, so you can email me through there. But that's definitely the first method of contact. And once I filter through that you're serious and you're not a psychopath, then I will get
there is
in
a pre-qualifier.
Yes, exactly.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, I can't thank you enough. This was absolutely amazing, inspiring, and really vintage is for everyone. It's just how you do it and do it well.
Yes, exactly.
So for all of you, I can't thank you enough. To get you more familiar, please visit our website at homeshows.net. We produce South Florida's largest home design and home improvement expos in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Palm Beach. Follow us at FL Home Shows. But Nicole, thank you so much for being here.
Thank
this was absolutely amazing, inspiring. Everybody go and follow her right now. But until next time, stay tuned for the next episode.
The Home Design and Remodeling Show.